Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out in the backyard, and enjoy some of this wonderful spring weather wherever you are, and create a little grill envy in your neighborhood. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Thanks, Jop. Yeah, welcome to the show. It must be the weekend. If you want to check us out online, just hit our website. It's thegrillinguys.com. You can follow us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. So you know where we're at. And some people like to podcast the show. You can actually look at the top right corner of our site, and you'll see a little set of headphones. Click on the icon. It'll set up the link, and we'll download that to your device. So you can take our lovely voices anywhere you travel.
For no extra charge.
No, it's free. It's absolutely free. The website's a good resource, by the way. Also, there's years and years worth of recipes. We actually have every show loaded so that you can download the MP3. You can stream the show live if you click listen live. We have people from all around the world actually doing that, so it's kind of cool to see this crazy show getting out to crazy places like Afghanistan and Iraq. So I know our soldiers are listening over there. God bless you all. Want to talk a little bit about my week in grilling. I had a stellar week. I was home all week, and that makes a big difference.
That makes a ton of difference. There's a lot more grilling going on when you're there to stand and yeah, attend to the grill.
That's right. Never get to grill in the Hampton Inn. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Right.
But I took our advice and did the perfect ham every time recipe that we talked about last week. And I went down to my favorite butcher and got a beautiful, beautiful regular from Sobey Meats. He smokes his own ham. And so I bought a big butt portion. And when you get a locally made ham, or any ham for that matter, they'll sell you a butt portion or a picnic, right? It's the two different pieces that come off. And I like that butt meat because it's just so nice and white and just tender, especially if it's what we used to call regulars when I smoked hams back in college for Vandenbrink Meats. The regulars were always the ones that were just in netting. They were not put in a casing. We had the formed hams that we would debone and put this gelatin substance on it and then pack it in a sleeve, just like you do with any sausage you smoke. And those were always kind of tightly packed, and they were still good, but because they're in that skin, it compresses the meat,
yep.
So it's kind of dense. Whereas these regulars, dude, you cut into a piece of this regular, and it's just tender.
Did it have a bone in it?
Cut it, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You can cut it with your knife, and that's a funny story, too, but I probably can't say it on the radio. So I did everything like the recipe calls for. I seasoned it the night before. I actually cut it, and I edged it and diamond patterned it. So I had
how deep do you do that?
I went about a half inch.
Yep.
And I wanted something for my marinade to seep into. And I'd have to say that the marinade was only slightly effective. You know, I think what it does best is help seal in the juices. But I brought it up. I smoked it on my Cajun grill for 6 or 7 hours. But my temperature kept going up and down because I wasn't really paying attention. I averaged around 190. Oh, dude, it was so gorgeous. I carved out the nicest piece, and then I took a nice, really sharp knife, and I cut it into like half-inch steaks, put it on a big platter, and also grilled some full skin-on chicken breasts because we had a couple people over that prefer chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out so fantastic. I just loved it. And
Well, it's a little bit of a detailed recipe because I did it too. I was talking with some of our listeners who said that it's actually Charlie over at Putt Putt's Bar. He's like, the grilling guys, all the things you could do for Easter, you're both doing hams. You guys are disappointing me. But we both took that perfect ham recipe off the website. I put mine on the green egg, and I kept that thing right at 200, and it was on there about 7 hours. And the meat got up to about 195, so I really didn't cook it as much as I just slowly warmed it through. And that makes it really nice. I cut too deep. I ask you how I did about an inch with that, and it opened up, and it dried it out is what it did. And I was basting and marinating at the end, but
so the top inch of your meat was
it was hard. Yeah, it was drier than I wanted, and it got a little bit hard. So that's why I ask you how deep you made those score marks, because I
think professionals will tell you about a quarter inch. I went a little deeper in some spots just because that's where the knife blade took me.
Yeah, right. Well, and I know you do the same thing I do, is my knives are as sharp as they can be. Right. I'm constantly touching up the edge on those because I just – it's a pet peeve. It's a dull knife. So anyway, mine turned out – I'm not going to say fabulous like yours. Mine was okay because it – and I, too, had a bone-in butt portion. So it was tasty, but you had to cut through that outer inch – That I think dried out a little bit.
Well, hats off to Tim Sobey, because that home smoked ham was, I think it's, other than back in the 70s when I was smoking hams for Van & Brink's, I think it's probably the best ham I've ever had. And we did a bunch of those regulars there too. And when they would come right off the smoker fresh, I mean, my mouth's watering remembering how good they were.
They were slippery too, weren't they? It wasn't about every time you did it, one of them hit the floor.
Every
and then
day
you
one
sell
would
it?
Drop and we'd right. have to get rid of it. And all college kids, right? So we'd be walking. You had to hurry in this place. There was no slacking at this plant. And so you were always running. And if you see somebody drop one, you'd be running by. And you got really good at just reaching down with a hook and just grabbing a chunk and tearing it off. And sometimes you'd end up with like a pound. And then you'd have to break it up as you hustled to give half of it to a buddy, because you had to kind of get it gone before anybody saw you.
Ah, yeah, right? So this was all above board, I'm sure, those slippery little devils that they are.
Yeah. Also did some nice venison steaks. I found a recipe on mywildgame.com because I had a couple venison steaks left. I now only have two. But this looked too good to pass up, so I just tried it. I did it because I looked at what I had for ingredients, and I punched a couple in with venison steaks, and this one came up. It's called venison steak provolone pepper, something along those headlines. And I didn't have provolone. I had baby Swiss, which I like even better. But basically, it's a nice seasoning blend, and then you take mini bells, jalapenos, lime, red onion. I just happened to have everything. I didn't have the mushrooms.
So you didn't have everything.
I didn't. I'm remembering now, and I'm not a big mushroom fan like you are anyway.
I understand.
But they're okay. If they're marinated, I like them. So anyway, you skewer all the vegetables, and you put the seasoning on the meat for a couple hours, and it's a marinade. You brine it a little bit, marinate it. And then you grill the steaks, and when you're finishing the steaks off, if you time it right, your vegetables are done at the same time. The last minute, you put a slice of cheese on top of each steak, and you shut the lid and shut the grill off. Dude, they were gorgeous. Unfortunately, I didn't take a picture of it because it was so picture perfect. I'd love to post it, but I'm afraid sometimes I post so many pictures, it's a bit...
People are numb to your grilling.
Overkill, yeah. I wish I would have, because they turned out so tasty.
Right.
And you find that on mywildgame.com.
Coming up next, we're going to go to Alabama, and we're going to see what a little Bama barbecue is. Bob was down there on a little spring break, so I think he met some people that we're going to be talking with. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than a half a percent of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Glad you're taking a time to tune in and listen to a couple knuckleheads talk a little bit about grilling and what we do to have a little fun and inspire some people in our neighborhood to get out in their backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker or even a deep fryer. And that might be where we're going next, is a big pot of water, right?
How about that? Pot of water me.
Yeah.
A little pot of water. Hey, before we get cruising, I want to tell you everybody about this little thing I found. If you're a concealed carrier, it's called the Blackhawk, and I was stumbling through Cabela's the other day because I had to bring my tent back and get a refund. And I'm always looking through all the guns
anytime
I go to any shops. Yeah, it was a fail, but they took it back, no questions. But this is called a Blackhawk, and It's for concealed carriers. Holds a little pistol. It's a size 6 I've got in my hand here, but it's basically almost looks like a pocket liner. You know, it's like neoprene, and it's got this skin on the outside that kind of sticks to your skin. And what you do is you just slide this down in your pants, either on your hip or on your back or in your front, wherever you like to carry. And the inside's real slick, so the gun will pull out real easy, but this thing sticks to your skin. It's called a Blackhawk. It was $19. It's the best holster I've ever found for a pistol, and I'm going to go buy a couple more because they make them in all sorts of different sizes.
For different size guns,
yeah,
right.
So I think that'd be nice for that big hog nose I've got.
Yeah, but man, I don't know. We're going to stop there. I don't want to talk about a hog nose being stuffed down your pants.
I meant to say a hog. Stop there. I meant to say hog leg. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, my senior status is showing. I might have something here. Mix my words up a lot. Yeah,
Bob, we were going to talk to Archibald's down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and they're unavailable. So
yes,
we're going to take a little turn here and do a boil.
Yes, we had Archibald's all set up. They're in Tuscaloosa. The reason I had them scheduled is because they're ranked as, I think, at USA Today, not that that's worth anything, but They were ranked by a national newspaper as the number six ribs in the country. And when I looked at the five they were behind, I mean, they were behind five of my favorites like Franklin's and Big Daddy's and a few other people that are just notorious. Somebody else in Kansas City, I can't remember who, but they're obviously all the top guys. So if you're ever cruising down through Alabama and find yourself in Tuscaloosa, Archibald's is a great place to go. So I am told. It's the Alabama show, and we're going to talk about Alabama, whether they can make it or not. Dang it.
So let's talk about this boil that I just brought up this for the third time now. You want to talk about it?
Well, not if you're going to be like that.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to be the listener's advocate here. And we've been down rabbit trails. Let's get back to the boil trail.
And back to the holster. So if you've never done a boil, up here we call them fish boils. Down there they just call them a boil.
Mm-hmm.
And in the UP they actually have something really similar, just different seasonings and profiles. And that's a Scandinavian way. But it's basically the same thing. It's a large pot, fill it with water, get it boiling, and you throw your food in there. And no matter which culture you find doing it, they have relatively the same ingredients. Down on the Gulf and in the Alabama and Louisiana and Mississippi markets, their boils always start with a pack of Old Bay,
mm-hmm.
right? You throw the whole bag of seasonings in, and it usually has potatoes, and they use the little redskins. Carrots.
Not cut up. They're
nope,
just whole.
Nope. Carrots, onion, celery, and small, fresh sweet corn.
Right.
And the corn you cut up into little 1.5-inch, 2-inch segments. But you kind of stage these things as you throw them in the boil, right? So you throw your potatoes and onions in first.
Right. They're going to take the longest to cook. They're the most dense. And
right.
Sure.
And then you throw the carrots in. And after that, you've got celery. You can throw that in any time, really. That's really a flavor profile thing. And the corn goes in like 15 minutes before you're done. The seafood all goes in the last 10 minutes. And what I like to throw in is scallops.
Mm-hmm.
And
if they cook too long, they get real rubbery.
Yeah. So that's why I say 10 minutes. So scallops, shrimp, you're going to want to clean them and devein them. And I know you're real good at that. I've seen you do a couple hundred of them at a time.
Yeah. Not my favorite job, but it's a necessity if you're going
to
eat them.
It takes a couple beers to get it done.
Right.
And the jumbo shrimp probably are the best because they're bigger to work with, right?
Well, and they, you know, any seafood that hits the water hot tends to shrink. It tightens up, the tissue tightens up, and it shrinks a little bit. So if you start with smaller shrimp, they get really small by the time you're done cooking them.
Right.
And but anyway, so you put all that together.
Yeah, and you can do chunks of lobster.
Mm-hmm.
You can do crab claws or crab meat or crab legs.
Yep.
They work really nice.
Any of the seafood, yep.
And then if you have a nice dense fish that you want to throw in something real white in color, that's not too flaky. You wouldn't want to do mahi-mahi or flounder or anything like that because it's just going to break apart.
Right.
But I'm thinking swordfish or something like that. And then you let that go for about 10 minutes, you're done. And you have a pot of dinner.
Right. And generally there's the strainer inside the pot or you're pouring it out. Because you're not, the water was just there to cook everything in. You're not actually eating any of the liquid, right?
Right.
It's all the solid you're going to pull out of
there. It's already done its work.
Right, yep.
So what they do down south is they put newspaper on a picnic table,
mm-hmm.
and they dump the whole pot on a picnic table.
Right.
And you just basically pick.
Seagulls.
You grab, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of newspaper on anything, the whole black ink thing. When you're in the UK, they do that with fish.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems kind of poisonous to me.
Yeah. Okay. I've probably eaten worse, but it depends on what they're writing about in the newspaper.
Huh. Well, then the other big thing they're into down there is beans and rice.
Right.
I cheat with that. I think New Orleans is the home of Zatarain's.
Zatarain's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's out of New Orleans, if
right.
I'm not mistaken. And they have all kinds of different blends of them, but just the beans and rice.
Red basic, beans and rice. Yeah.
Yep. The basic mix. I mean, you could do your own too if you wanted to just boil some rice and get some, put some red beans in.
Let me tell you something I did with boiling. I found a bag of bluegills from this winter in the freezer that I forgot were in there. And I said, boy, bluegill sounds good. So I pulled them out, right? And they were from January. And I pulled them out and thawed them out. And when I was getting ready to cook them, decided, you know what? I don't really want fried fish. Because that's what I usually do is batter them up and
deep fry. Takes all the health benefits out of eating fish.
So what I did is I boiled them. And I, I got just a pot of boiling water, sprinkled some seasoning in it, and then boiled them. And it's just like when you deep fry them. I drop the fillet in there, and it goes under the water, but then when it's done, it floats, okay? And they just get real white, pure white, and I took them out and immediately put them in a bath of ice water to stop the cooking. I'm going to tell you what, they tasted like shrimp cocktail.
Really?
It was great. Yeah, and I used cocktail sauce with them.
You can make a dip out of that.
Yeah, right. Well, that was where I was going next. I had so many of them that we ate them like that, and then I crumbled them up and put some cream cheese and then the
green onion and
cocktail sauce on there, and then sprinkled the fish on top of it, the crumbled fish, and you ate it on a cracker. It was fabulous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it was just plain old bluegill.
Because some people don't want it smoked.
Right.
You know, we always do that with smoked whitefish.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just not in the flavor mode.
But just a simple little thing, and I mixed that cream cheese with some Boursin cheese, the little goat cheese, to give it a little flavor.
Yeah.
And then that cocktail sauce on top and crumbled up fish and took a Ritz cracker, spread some of that on there. Man, it's making my mouth water just talking
Mine
about
too.
It. It was that good.
You could even just use the cream cheese and the Boursin and mix the fish right up in with it.
Yeah.
And some scallions or green onions.
Yeah.
And have an awesome dip that way if you didn't want the cocktail sauce.
Right.
Yeah.
You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you listening in. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center. Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Been talking a little bit of Alabama barbecue in the last segment, and now we got a guy on the live line that knows a little bit about Alabama barbecue, don't we, Bob?
We sure do. On the grilling line right now is Mr. Chris Lilly from Big Bob Gibson's. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, thanks for joining us. You guys, you're like third generation in Big Bob Gibson's, and you're,
I believe, fourth generation.
Fourth. Ah, stand corrected. So tell everybody who hasn't had the chance to get to Decatur, Alabama, or wherever your second location is, why they might want to wander into Big Bob Gibson's.
You know, it's Big Bob Gibson's, but, you know, it's Alabama barbecue as a whole. I don't think that Alabama barbecue gets the love that some of the other big regions of barbecue get. Your North Carolinas, your Memphis, your Texas, your Kansas City. In my opinion, Alabama barbecue is right up there. I'm with Big Bob Gibson Barbecue in Decatur, Alabama. We've been there since 1925. I'm fourth generation. I've got two sons working in the business now, so fifth generation business there in Alabama. Alabama barbecue Alabama actually has more barbecue restaurants than any other state per capita. And it also has over 29 restaurants that have been in business for over 50 years. Many restaurants just like us who have been there four or five generations. So Alabama barbecue is definitely a destination spot. And we could talk about several barbecue restaurants, but Big Bob Gibson's cooking whole chickens and whole pork shoulders since 1925. Our specialty is barbecue chicken with a white barbecue sauce that Big Bob Gibson started doing back in the 20s. I've seen that barbecue sauce as far away as New York and California and Alaska and really all over the world now. So it's a very distinctive sauce. And, we've just been cooking barbecue. That's what we've been doing for over 90 years and just having a good time down here.
I've got a bottle of that white sauce in my pantry right now. Last time I was down there, I stopped in and Jeff took really good care of us at your Decatur location. You have another store?
I've got two restaurants in Decatur, Alabama.
Mm-hmm. So they're both in Decatur?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Cool. Wow. There's a demand. Well, I don't know, which one was there first, but we went in there 2 years ago on spring break because we head to Gulf Shores every year, and your manager, Jeff, took really good care of us. I had one of the best restaurant tours I've ever had. And he laid out a spread for us that was, I mean, royalty. We were so stuffed when we left there, and I was so blown away with every dish you guys make. But the really cool thing is I was honestly a little skeptical of the white sauce. I couldn't believe that it could possibly be good. But it's not really white when it shows up on your plate, is it?
Well, every chicken that comes out of our wood-fired hickory pits, these are the old-fashioned brick pits with the metal lids that are counterweighted, and you raise them up, hickory fire on one side. We cook about 70 whole split chickens at a time, and every chicken that comes out of that pit gets dipped in a vat of white barbecue sauce. But, yeah, by the time it reaches your plate, you know, it's the mixing with all the juices that are pouring out of the chicken. So it's sort of a tanny sauce when it gets to your plate. But we do have a white, more of our white barbecue sauce on the table as well.
Chris, I know that I'm not fishing for the family recipe here, but can for the listeners that might not be familiar with your white barbecue sauce, can you just tell us what flavor profile's in it or what the main ingredients are?
No, absolutely. I don't mind at all. White barbecue sauce is very simple. It is a tangy, peppery flavor. What turns it white is mayonnaise, but it's actually a vinegar-based sauce. So you have vinegar, mayonnaise, black pepper, lemon juice, salt, and a few other things in there. It does two things. You can go visit any region. You've got your vinegar-based sauces that gives that barbecue just sort of an extra tang that you really need to have good barbecue. But the mayonnaise and the sauce keeps the chicken from drying out once it comes off the pit. So you get two benefits. You get that extra tang and all the fresh cracked black pepper in there that gives it that peppery flavor. But then you get the mayonnaise, which actually coats and keeps the chicken from drying out. So it's for taste, and then it also is a good use in there as well.
So for folks listening around the country who may not get a chance to visit your restaurant, can they buy this sauce from you?
Absolutely. You can go to BigBobGibson.com. We sell a world of white sauce every day, ship it all over the country. And Or in the southeast, you can go to your grocery store and pick it up off the grocery store shelf.
Now, folks that aren't familiar with you or Big Bob Gibson's will be from here on out, because I'll tell you a little bit about this fellow here. Chris is a major league competitor. So you not only run a couple restaurants, but you spend your weekends doing circuit competition. I mean, big league competition in the KCBS. You probably hit Memphis in May. I bet you do the Jack Daniels. You're doing all those big competitions, right?
Definitely do the big ones. You know, back when I had more time and more energy when I was a younger fella, I definitely hit the circuit a little bit harder than I do now. Now I'm just doing the big ones. I'll do Memphis in May, the American Royal. If I win one of those, I'll do Jack Daniels. I've been doing one out in California in Palm Springs in December called the King of the Smokers. It's a 2014 Invitational. Fabulous contest, and I do that one because it's in Palm Springs in December.
Yeah.
Got wiser as he got older, too, sure.
We have family out there. Exactly. We like to go to Palm Springs, too. I don't blame you at all. You might bring your golf clubs.
I'm a little bit smarter now, as you said.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so you can see Chris's work all over the place. Of course, Big Bob Gibson's been gone a long time, but it's really cool that you all are carrying on his legacy. And I would add that you've even furthered his legacy by expanding the business and adding to the prestige of the brand and the name. I think all that time you spent doing competitions, you know, represents the brand very well, and you happen to actually know how to barbecue really well. So it just complements it extremely well. So I'm sure Big Bob's smiling down on all of you right now.
Well, I tell you, you know, I hope that I've done well in their eyes. And it's one of those things. A lot of people have cooked barbecue at Big Bob Gibson's before me and continue to do it every day. And I've learned so much from them. And it's that I've applied to, you know, to all my successes. So I'm standing on a platform built by a lot of people down here in Decatur, Alabama. So certainly proud of where we are now and the recognition that Big Bob Gibson Barbecue gets around the country.
Yeah, well, you're doing that well. So anyway, back to your prior comment. We here at the Grillin' Guys do definitely hold up Alabama as a very special barbecue market. And a lot of it is due to you and Big Daddy's and a few other people down there that we've had the pleasure of having on the show. And actually going into your restaurants and eating your food. And in my opinion, Alabama has a very awesome culture for barbecue. And if you just Google Barbecue Alabama, you'll see the whole state light up on Google Maps. So that's not even a question in our market. But listen, I appreciate you joining us. It's Chris Lilly from Big Bob Gibson's. Check them out. Just Google the name, Big Bob Gibson's or Chris Lilly. You'll check them out on all kinds of barbecue circuit tours and see what they're up to.
And come see us. Come to Alabama. Check out Big Bob Gibson's. Check out many other barbecue restaurants we have down here. We'll be glad to hopefully put out a spread as big as we did for years. So we're always willing to listen and learn from our customers and visit with them.
Yeah, and if you're heading down 65, it's the same exit that you get off for Huntsville, Alabama, which is the big NASA tour. So if you just head west, you'll land into some pretty good food.
That's it, guys.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Okay. Chris Lilly, Big Bob Gibson's. Job.
You know what? That guy, he's such a gentleman. I just enjoy talking with him, and he's so very humble, but he has been there, done it, and done it all.
So, he's been on TV a million times.
Right. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? What that old law she meant to me? Can't you see?
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and maybe think about get out in your backyard and creating a little grill envy in your neighborhood, because spring has sprung. There's flowers all over my yard and around the house, and I am just in the mood to cook some food. What about you, Barbecue Bob?
I'm fretting because I didn't get my crabgrass thing down yet.
Oh, the preen or whatever
they call
it? I think
I missed it. No, you know, the whole Scott's crabgrass killer. Hard to say after a northern hawk owl.
Right.
So we're enjoying a right brain northern hawk owl. And on the live line right now, we've got Sandra from the Nighthawk. So this is hawk related. How are you, Sandra?
I'm well, thank you. How about yourself?
Hey, we wanted to get you in real quick because some good barbecue buddies of ours are doing a chili cook-off with you, and we wanted to let people around the area, and that's basically West Michigan. So for those of you in other regions, pardon us for a little local pause here, but we just want to talk about something really fun that some great barbecue buddies are joining in on with Sandra at the Nighthawk. So Sandra, tell us what's going on next weekend at the Nighthawk, and how you're raising money.
Yes, we do a chili cook-off. We started it about 11 years ago. It's going to be our 11th annual. And the last 6 years, it is to benefit Spectrum Health Hospice and all their extra programs such as art therapy and music therapy and things of that nature. So all the money goes to Spectrum Health Hospice. The chili bracelets to get in, they're $5. We do $1 hot dogs, so it's very family-oriented. And we have live music. We have about four different bands that are playing that day. Just a great all-around community.
Oh, four different bands. Now you got me. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, so you've got our good friend Bernie from Camp All Corners, who is a purveyor of some great barbecue equipment and beer, as one of the teams. So we're going to, Jop and I are going to show up next Saturday and support Bernie and Leon and that whole team because they're buds. But what are the grand champions win?
Well, it's being that it's a charity event, it's really, and Bernie has won it a few times, so it's really some great bragging rights, and we do some different trophies for red chilies, white chicken chili, vegetarian chilies. We do another award for best theme team, and then we do also an award for people's choice.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on that day. There's a silent auction. There's 50-50 drawings. There's a live auction. And really the teams win those great bragging rights and a trophy.
Sandra, if somebody wanted to come to the event, what day is it? And tell them where you're located.
Yes, we are the day Saturday, April 29th. And we are located at 6950 Whitneyville. That is considered Elcho, and it's near the corner of 68th Street in Whitneyville.
They call it Camp All Corners. Sandra from the Nighthawk, Chili, we're on it. Thanks so much for taking a minute to talk to the Grilling Guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, sounds like fun. I love chili cook-offs. I mean, we do that one every year. They're all over the country. I think we ought to join a sanctioned chili cook-off, though, because we seem to have it kind of dialed in. And I'd really like to compete on a bigger level. These little local ones are a lot of fun. But, you know, like this one's sold out. 28 teams are sold out.
Right.
We can't even enter.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's all right. We got to the dance a little late on this one.
We did.
But we'll go down with Bernie and his team and have a little bit of fun.
But all around the country, there's these chili cook-offs. And there's like this National Chili Association that just like the KCBS, it'd be kind of cool to get those folks on sometime, because this isn't the time of year you really think about chili a whole lot, although I eat chili year-round.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm getting rid of freezer meat, because it cures all that ails you.
Right.
But I want to talk back, get back the train up a little bit. We were talking Alabama barbecue, and we did the obligatory local charity deal. When you talk about Southern barbecue in particular, there's kind of like two basic things they like to do. They either like to do whole hog or they like to do pork shoulder. I mean, and everybody basically does ribs, right?
Right.
And then they have their special sausages, depending on, you know, what the ethnicity or the origins, like if you're in a German region or, you know, what that place was settled as. There's generally a flavor. If I was just in Wisconsin last week, and you know, it's famous for brats and cheese,
sure,
right? And they're actually starting to brew some good beer there, so good for them. But like, you know, different regions have the Italian sausage and stuff like that, and they always blend that in with their barbecue. But one thing I've noticed is there's kind of a battle between whether it's whole hog or shoulder, and I'm only mentioning this because my wife's relatives live down the street, and every year they have a pig roast. And it's this year it's going to be, you know, a couple hundred, 200-300 people. And I watch the son-in-law do this hog, and it's killing him. Because
they're just a ton of work.
Yes.
And for a product that tastes very similar to just the shoulder, the whole animal does, right? And I guess that there's a spectacle of taking this thing off the roaster, and it's as large as it is, because, you know, hogs come in a lot of different sizes. I've seen them 300-400 pounds on there. You know, that's a huge amount of work.
It's to debone, handling.
The deboning and the taking all of the meat out to get what you get with a pork shoulder when it's just off the smoker. You pull it and you eat it.
So here's my idea, and here's what I pitched on my I'll call him nephew, Dan. I said, I want to come down and help you because it's too much for one guy.
Right.
Number two, He's renting these smokers that you get from big butcher shops,
yeah,
which are basically oil drums.
Right, on wheels.
There's no science.
Right.
You're feeding it every 2 or 3 hours. Your temperature's up and down. It's a nightmare. So I'm going to bring my big American Barbecue Systems judge in with the rotisserie racks and all this stuff. If they'll give me the blessing, I'm volunteering and I have to ask for permission. But I told him to do it this way. I said, get a nice little suckling pig, and I'll get about 16 butts, and we'll put a bunch of butts on and a nice little suckling pig. We'll set that suckling pig out on the middle of the whole display.
Sure.
Basically, you take a picnic table and you put brown paper on it, and you set the pig on that, and then you put your warming pans all the way around it.
Yeah.
Right? And you put the pulled pork. You serve
the shoulders.
Pork, yep, in those pans, so it's nice and warm. You're not picking apart something you don't understand. You're not pulling tons of fat out. You don't have grease everywhere. And then throughout the entire meal, you've got this beautiful little smoked hog in front of you, so you get the effect. I think it's a way better solution.
Right.
So that's what we're going to be doing sometime in June. I've volunteered to go on with this gig. So that's just, in my opinion, if you have people, and I get it all the time, people want me to do weddings and all this stuff. Well, we're doing a hog. I was like, okay, let's back it up.
Right.
Because number one, when you have that whole hog on, you're not penetrating hardly anything with smoke.
Right.
Because chances are you're in an oil drum.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting the smoke. You can't season the meat. Yada, 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 yada. You come and taste my pulled pork over anybody that does a hog roast, and if you don't like this pulled pork better, do your hog roast. But I'll guarantee you never hear that comment, because you're getting a smoke ring on every cubic foot versus, you know, a 12 cubic foot piece.
Right.
It's the math.
Right. And the whole smoke. Hogs are cooked with the skins on them.
Yes.
So the flavor doesn't penetrate the meat.
It's just a mess.
Yeah. It's just I prefer the shoulders myself. But it's, you know, there are a whole lot of listeners out there that roast hogs all summer long, and I'm sure their meat is really good. It's just that I prefer just the shoulders. It's so much easier to work
with. Great solution anyway, if you want to try something different with a little bit better profile.
Coming up next, we're not sure what we're going to talk about, but we're going to talk. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I can't wait.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Okay, today's man law. Kind of appropriate, Jop.
Springtime.
Yep. It is springtime, and you know we're getting these weird rainstorms. I was out the other night, and it just started raining on me. I'm back in my woods, just cutting firewood, basically clearing trees to push back the mosquitoes more than anything. And it just starts raining. You know, it's just like it was a nice night, and boom. So this one's appropriate. Man law clearly states that under no circumstance do two men ever share an umbrella.
That's right. They don't even do it on the golf course. When the caddy's got the umbrella over top of him, he hands it to the player, and he stands in the rain.
That's right.
It happens every time. Those guys probably even got umbrella endorsements, and they don't do it.
Yeah.
So,
I never ask a Marine to hold your umbrella either. Enough said. Okay, so have you ever heard your gas grill woof real loud when you light it?
Well, yeah, if you light it, usually if you leave the top down when you light it, it'll do that because you get that little explosion in there because there's so much gas in a confined space. That's kind of a no-no to light your grill with the top down, I think.
I'm not sure that I'm totally on board with that. I think you should be able to light your gas grill with the lid down. Sometimes the other thing can occur when you have your lid up, if you have a breeze especially, it's blowing your gas around enough that it doesn't get to hit that little spark. I do believe most of them are engineered for you to be able to do it down. It's a great question. We need to research that. That could take a beer. But in my opinion,
some burn eyebrows.
In my opinion, or knuckles, usually how it goes. The reason your gas grill is making that woofing noise is delayed ignition, right? Mm-hmm. So your gas is backing up before it gets to the spark. So how you fix this, you can call a servicer or you can try fixing it or adjusting it yourself. First thing you have to do is take your grates off and any protective devices covering the burner. You may need to clean the area around your igniter. Mm-hmm. What I find is that, you know, I'm a sloppy cook. When I cook, there's all kinds of juices and sauces and stuff that go down there, and I just have to take my grill apart and clean it. And I think anybody that uses their grill regularly is going to have a lot of junk in there.
Right.
And you want to get that out. Keep some mice out, too. So instead of flowing, you know, what happens is you have a ribbon or a tube or an H-shaped burner, and right where the igniter, you've got a little piezo igniter or an electronic igniter. It's a sparker, basically. It's a little millivolt thing that's putting a little bitty arc near the first place the gas enters the grill body. So it ignites it right off the bat. Sometimes those are loaded up, corroded. You might have to take a toothpick or a needle and just wedge it in there and wiggle it around and clean all those out, and then take a vacuum cleaner in there and get those holes to
shop
clear
vac.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, on a gas grill, that's fine. Don't ever use a shop vac on a charcoal grill, because even though you think the coals are out, that air moving by them can reignite them, and then you catch your shop vac on fire. I've heard. I'm not telling you that I've done that,
but
I've
heard.
It's
a great way to get a new house. Yeah. I have witnessed it. I know a guy who knows a guy. Anyway, so the problem is the gas is going by those first few holes and going down into the belly of the beast, right? And then it backs up before it ignites, and that's when you get that big woof, which scares the bejeebers out of you.
Well, and you can get burned, too. I mean, it's dangerous. That if that igniter's not doing what it's supposed to do when it is supposed to do it, you get, I mean.
So a little spring tune-up tip there. If your grill's not lighting right, just clean that baby out. And if you have any questions, email us at thegrillingguys.com. Thanks for joining us. It's Alabama. Go out and hug your grill. It was always cold.